Chapter 3. Unwanted Thoughts. The sudden burst of so much noise in the chamber startled Markheim. He began to move around the room, taking anything that looked of value and putting it in his pockets. He was annoyed by the moving shadows and startled by the reflections of himself. In many of the fancy mirrors, he saw his face over and over again, as if they were an army of spies. His own eyes met and looked back at him. And the sound of his own steps, lightly as they fell, broke the surrounding quiet. As he continued to fill his pockets, his mind repeatedly accused him of the thousand faults of his design. He should have chosen a quieter hour. He should have prepared an alibi. He should not have used a knife. He should have been more careful and only bound and gagged the clerk. And he should not have killed him. He should have been braver and also killed the clerk's servant. He should have done all things otherwise. He had many regrets and wished he could have changed what he had already done. To plan after the act was useless. Meanwhile, and behind all this activity, the scurrying of rats in the attic filled the more remote chambers of his brain with riot. His nerves jerked like a hooked fish at any loud sound. Markheim was even afraid of the people in the street. He thought that some word of the struggle must have reached their ears and made them curious. And at that very moment, in all the neighboring houses, he imagined the neighbors sitting still with raised ears. Everyone close by was listening carefully and weaving the rope that was to hang him. It seemed to him he could not move too softly. And alarmed by the loud noise of the ticking, he was tempted to stop the clocks. Then again, with a quick change of mind, the very silence of the place seemed to be a danger to him. If the shop were too quiet, a passerby might notice and stop to listen. Then he stepped more loudly and moved around among the contents of the shop to copy the movements of a busy man at ease in his own house. But he was so pulled about by different thoughts that, while one part of his mind was still focused and sharp, the other was on the edge of lunacy. One hallucination in particular took a strong hold on his trust in himself. The neighbor or passerby could not know what really happened, for only sounds could go through the brick walls and covered windows. But here, within the house, was he alone? He knew he was. He had watched the servant leave for the day in her nicest clothes. Yes, he was alone, of course. And yet, in the empty house above him, he could surely hear a stir of soft footsteps. He was conscious of some presence upstairs. His imagination followed it to every room and corner of the house. The presence was a thing without a face to him and yet had eyes to see him with. He looked at the image of the dead clerk and became focused and filled with hate again. At times, he would glance at the open door that led to the next floor. The house was tall and dark. The light that filtered down from the ceiling window to the ground floor was very faint and shone a weak light near the entrance to the shop. And yet, in that weak lighting, he thought he noticed a slight movement of a shadow.